Sky and I want to lift the voices of those who have been silenced, forced to leave their homes for their safety and the safety of their future, those who have been separated from their families, and those who have been banned from freedom. The two of us, and all of those featured on this podcast, are products of immigrants, families and friends who have dreamed of a better life and circumstances and have contributed greatly to this American society with innovations, hard work, and decency. Not to mention, our current First Lady is an immigrant, and 4 out of 5 of the president's children are technically first gens too. We stand with all immigrants, refugees, and those who truly believe in America the beautiful, colorful, and inclusive. Let's start the show.
I've always dated someone foreign. So it has to be foreign. I've dated from Mexican, Africans, of course. I did date this one white guy for a stint. It lasted maybe a month, barely, because it was just, I felt like we were coming from two different places. Like, he would ask me a question, and for us, when you ask a question, I don't know how most Africans do it, but when you ask me a question, I'm going to ask you a question before I answer your question. And so we used to have a lot of back and forth, and I was like, this isn't working.
For me, it's such a struggle because my parents' comfort level of speaking English versus Bosnian is so important to me. I'm an only child, so definitely pleasing my parents and all this stuff is key because that's what you're taught when growing up. And so I've definitely attempted to date Bosnian guys for their sake. And then as I'm inching near 30, it's starting to be like, okay, they don't have to be from that village. They can be from a wider part of Bosnia. And then it changed to okay, maybe not Bosnian. Just stick with Muslim.
I just kept everything a secret from my parents. I just didn't tell them anything. I still don't tell them anything. It works out very well for me. So I really haven't had too many conflicts in there. The only thing is now, obviously, as I'm getting a little bit older, they want more information because they want to know, am I bringing anybody home for Thanksgiving? And I give them literally nothing, so they're super annoyed right now. But I kind of made their own bed by being so strict when I was young, so I really don't feel any that bad about it.
It's made dating interesting, and I just overall like to think of the positive and find something good in every good or not so great date that I've gone on. But it, I think, has been mostly maybe that attraction of you're different, and I want to learn more about you. And as they learn more, they're like, ooh, I don't know.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first-generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. I'm Perrine.
And I'm Sky.
And we're going to talk about dating. You would think that this would be a lot more joyous. And it is. You know, dating can be a beautiful thing. You know, finding that person.
Love is a beautiful thing. Dating. As a first gen. Maybe not.
Whole nother story.
Yes.
All right. So it's February. Love is in the air. Birds are chirping.
Cupid is shooting his arrows.
And there's chocolate hearts in every aisle of the grocery store.
Shoot your shot, 2017.
Pow, pow. So growing up as a first gen, when it came to dating, I know for me, just the basic guidelines, your curfew is probably 30 minutes earlier for me in my household. My mother didn't play. She didn't play. So be home by 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's late.
That's late on a weekend? 10 o'clock on a weekend?
Yeah.
In high school?
The sun was down.
I might be exaggerating. Okay, so Erlene will get the receipts for us, but let's say 10 o'clock on a weekend. All right? Max. Had to call before. She had to know who I was going with. She had to have met this person. Had to have known where they lived. Had to know all the background information. She did not play.
Social security number, fingerprints.
Yes.
Everything.
So not only did this go for dating, but it also went, like, for friendships, too.
Right.
So I didn't really participate in, like, sleepovers and stuff like that because my mama didn't know those people. She didn't know their houses. She didn't know their conditions of those houses. She didn't know what their parents were going to feed us, what they were going to do, what they did for a living, if they were, like murderers. Like, she didn't know. And so because she didn't know, we kept ourselves at home with our heads on our pillows on the weekends. Our friends might come over our house, like, for the day to play basketball, to do that, whatever. But as far as, like, spending the night, that just wasn't really a thing. So if you can imagine, if that's how it was with friends, when it came time for when I actually started dating, you know, you have, like, your play, check yes or no, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend when you're in, like, middle school or elementary school. You know, when I got to high school, I did get in, like, my first serious, you know, quote-unquote serious relationship, and that started the ending of my sophomore year in high school. Mm. I don't think I told my mother or anyone until, let's say, 5 months.
Wow.
After that we, you know, made it official and whatnot, and it was kind of, we pushed it a little bit because he lived in the neighborhood of my aunt and uncle, like literally the cul-de-sac. Like they were like, you could see his house from my uncle's house. And so we would try to be slick and, you know, like, oh, like I'm going over my uncle's house. When really it was like, let me like, I don't think I had a cell phone, but let me use their house phone and see if he's home. And like, I wouldn't go to his house, like, we would, like, meet in the cul-de-sac, or he would come over, like, my uncle's house or whatever, and they kind of already knew each other from living
y'all
there.
Were real bold.
But we tried it. But my mother was still very, very strict and very, like, aware.
Right. Wow. You really tried it.
I tried it. But she raised me right, so.
Did she? Because I can't tell from this story. So I was a good high schooler. Growing up, we didn't really talk about dating in my household. Like, it was assumed that one day me and my brothers would grow up and get married, but it was kind of like, you go, the narrative was, okay, so, you know, it's your mom and dad, and we're going to raise you, and then one day you're going to graduate from high school and get married. It's like, what? Like, I don't, there's no dating. Like, yeah. How does one marry? Like, what does marriage, what? How do you get there?
No, like, you just know.
Do you just give a ring or receive a ring from a random person on the street? Like,
I mean,
there was no discussion about, like, what happens from graduating high school and going to college and then moving in with someone because you're married.
Right.
So, like, there was never, like, a dating conversation. There was never, like, a curfew put on or, like, dates that I went on in high school or anything like that. Like, I didn't go, ooh, this makes me sound like a late bloomer. I didn't go on my first date or have my first, like, relationship until college, undergrad.
Yeah. So. I feel that even though it seems like I pushed the line, pushed the boundaries a bit in high school, my mother, even though she was very strict, she always obviously had our best intentions in mind, you know.
Right.
She raised, you know, us very well with so much, like, respect, not only for others, but for ourselves. Mm. And so that's something that has carried and stuck with me for all of my future relationships and, like, the current relationship I'm in. Something else that was very important is that my parents never said anything to us as far as only date this kind of person, only date this race, only date that. Like, they never, ever gave us those kinds of guidelines or kind of put love in a box for us, in a sense. So they were very accepting of all people, of all, like, backgrounds. And obviously, you know, we all grew up with stereotypes and prejudice against, you know, certain people for different things and different reasons, but that was nothing that, you know, my mother or father ever, like, stressed to us. But at the same time, in the back of their mind, they always wanted us to be with a Liberian. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this little Liberian boy, or oh, this person here mm-hmm. has one fine daughter for Eric. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, they would throw it in there, right. you know, and then express how happy they would be if we were to then, you know, end up with someone that was also Liberian. But then for us, we're like, yo, like, is that not our cousin? Or, like, are we not somehow related? Right. Like, that was also in the back of our minds, too. So,
right, we have too many play cousins.
So many play cousins.
Close family friends that you don't even remember right. whether or not that's actually your auntie or uncle anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I was just always very hesitant because of that. But I don't think that I came in contact growing up with many other Liberians that were my age that weren't related to me.
Right.
So I don't really think I had that opportunity to be like, oh, I'm gonna get me a Liberian husband, because my Liberian male counterparts were always my cousins.
Right. I remember, and this isn't my story to tell, but it's one of my brothers. I won't name who. I have a lot of them, so try to figure it out. But one of my brothers in undergrad met this girl, and like he really like liked her or whatever, and like went home and like, and she was Liberian, and went home and like talked to my mom and asked like, hey, do you know the, you know, blank family? And she was like, oh yeah, you know, that's our family. And
no,
like he had to make that question though before he you know, like tried to talk to her or anything like that, because it's so important. Like, we don't know, like our families are so spread out, and like there's so many different, like, you know, marriages that happen, so many different last names, and so you don't know who you're related to. It's hard.
It's really
It's
hard.
Very tricky. You have to be very intentional about yes. if you're going to try to date another person from Liberia or Liberian descent. Like, I always would check in with my mama first. Like, so, do you know the XYZ people or no? Oh, okay. That's first cousins. Wow. That's right. close. All right. Thank you.
Cross off the list. Never look right. back. Blocked out of memory.
Basically. But you're speaking about race earlier with your parents. I think that's great that they weren't, you know, like giving y'all stereotypes about different races or kind of exclusionary. My parents were never like exclusionary. I have an older brother who, like, they get teased him because they just say that, like, oh, he only likes white women. And, like, it's a joke in the house. But then I date one white boy, and all of a sudden that's the only type of person I want to date. Like, I dated one white boy, and that was my first relationship, first person that my parents met. And now that's basically all that anyone in the family talks about. Like, they'll see, like, my mom will see, like, a cute white boy in the store and like call me and be like, she'll be like, ooh, the manager at this store is this cute little white boy. I told him about you. And I'm like, but girl, like, no. First of all, like, I mean, I don't, like, thanks, I guess, girl, yeah. but like, I'm good.
Right.
So I just think that with my family in particular, you know, you bring home one type of person and all of a sudden you're boxed in.
Right.
So I'm kind of the cautionary tale to that.
That's hilarious. They'll definitely label you very quickly, like mm-hmm. very, very quickly.
Yeah. And being the youngest and the only girl. So I have three older brothers. And
she does.
The twins are very in shape and can lift a lot of weight. And they can be physically intimidating. I remember the first time.
Wait, just disclaimer, when she says they're very in shape, no doubt, like, literally, like, 50 cent comparisons. Like, don't let her fool you.
One
like,
of them can
the twins,
press.
Both of them, the twins are ripped. They are cut. So if you're coming for Sky, like, come for yourself and be prepared, because, yeah.
One legitimately, like, bench press is almost 500 pounds. So yeah. That's what I mean when I say in shape. So
that's so in shape.
I remember, like, my sophomore year bringing home, like, my first relationship, my first boyfriend, and him being absolutely terrified because, you know, like, my brothers trust my dad. There's these four men in this house, and he was literally shaking in his boots, and like I didn't understand it, but my brothers are very, very protective of me, as was my father. And so my dad was never a gregarious or chatty man. So I remember when they met each other, and my boyfriend at the time also wasn't a very chatty person either. So when they kind of met, my boyfriend at the time was trying to make, you know, kind of like small talk, and my dad was just like, hello. And then just basically walked away, like,
one word.
Just hi, and walked away, like, while my then boyfriend was like trying to carry on a conversation with him. He just like walked out. My mother was much nicer, and she's nosy, so she just started asking all the questions. He was actually he's an immigrant. She was asking him questions about like his background and where he came from and his people, because you have to know about the other person's people. You just have to. You need to know where they come from, Sky. Yep. You just have to know. That's what she tells me.
You do.
So she was a kind of like the beacon of like light and hope for him in that household, because my brothers were just not speaking to him very much. I think it was like Christmas or Thanksgiving, and so there was a basketball or football game on or something, and he wasn't really into sports, but my brothers being dudes were, so like we were like sitting there watching the game and no one was speaking to him. Yeah, it was pretty awkward. It was pretty bad. Eventually they kind of warmed up to him. We dated for, I think, almost 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years. I think probably in 3 years, my dad said maybe 8 words to him, though. So that's kind of about as bad as it gets, I think.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard when you have siblings, one, because those are literally the closest to you. Those are the original best friends. Those are literally the people that know you the best.
Mm-hmm. And they literally changed my diapers.
Literally. And so on the flip side, I too am the youngest of 6. But when it comes to my 2 older siblings, the ones that are closest in age, I'm very protective.
Mm.
Whenever my brother brought a girl home, I would, oh, hi, how are you? You know, talk to them, fill them out. But at the same time, like, in the corner of my eye, I'm, like, staring her down. I'm figuring out her intentions. I'm analyzing the heck out of her. And I'm trying to see what's real, because I know my brother, and he's literally, like, the sweetest, nicest person ever. And I just know that certain girls would definitely want to take advantage of that.
Right.
And so I know him. I know how loving he is and how sweet he is. And for me, I'm just like, protect, guard. And it's the exact same thing with my sister, like my older sister. I'm very particular with anyone because, like, literally they're my world. Like, they're perfect to me. Like, aww. Especially, like, my sister. She's, like, perfect to me. So if you're going to come, like, again, come correct. Like,
so
come with it.
Don't try to date her.
Don't
siblings.
Try it. Like, be on your A game, because, like, you don't want to catch me outside, because it's not it.
You really just said catch me.
Don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. So it can be difficult. Dating can be difficult. It can be tricky, especially tricky as a first gen.
This is Betty's story.
I would primarily say I'm African, right? I was born in Oxford, North Carolina, of all places to have an African child. But my parents, my dad is from Sierra Leone, West Africa. And my mom is actually British. She was born and raised in London, but her parents are Sierra Leonean. So we are Sierra Leonean. I say I'm Sierra Leonean. When people ask, where are you from? Greensboro. I mean, I grew up in Greensboro, but I'll be like, Sierra Leone? So I would say I'm Sierra Leonean. So I was about like 2nd grade, and then my dad was like, you know, I want to go back to Sierra Leone. I want to, you know, let us be permanent residents of Sierra Leone. So my dad and my mom just, you know, because they're crazy, were like, hey, let's do this. Let's pack up and sell everything. I wouldn't say they were crazy. I think they were, you know, they were hopeful. I missed a segment of life. Like, it was a blur for me for, like, 2 years. I just can't recollect any memories. Like, I can have, like, vivid memories of, oh, okay, I remember being in Sierra Leone and my aunt had a beautiful mango tree. And then next minute, I can remember, okay, I was in London and it was freezing cold and we were in my mom's flat and she had no furniture. And, like, my dad wasn't there. He was in Sierra Leone, but we hadn't heard from him for weeks. When we came back to America, it was like starting all over again. It was definitely a hard transition for me. And then they, you know, moved out of like Greensboro and went to like Summerfield, which is like the country. And that for me was a very big cultural shock because I had always been around people who looked like me, you know, or, you know, I can see people at school and they had dark skin. But when you're living in Summerfield, North Carolina, there were a lot of white people. I never actually had black friends until I got to college. I didn't date in high school at all. It was because who was there to date, you know, besides like the jock or the Abercrombie and Fitch stud at high school. So I didn't date. And it was, you know, my parents actually, it's not that they didn't talk about dating. They were just like, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. So I actually, my junior year in high school, I met like my first boyfriend and, well, my first official boyfriend who I introduced to my parents. Because, you know, you have your boyfriends who you send love notes to that your parents don't know about. And then you have the one that you bring because you need to have a date to prom. And so I met him, and he was Mexican. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the love of my life. We have so many things in common. Like, our parents, they don't understand. We love rice. We love music. And we have just huge families, and we throw like parties that go on to like 4 a.m. I was like, he's the one. And so I dated him for 4 years up until college. And what I realized was as I was immersing myself in African culture, the further apart we grew in our relationships, well, he was like ride or die for me. So when I started spending more time with Africans and like we would have inside jokes about like different things and he would come around, he did not like that very much. And you know, it became hard for me to hang out with the Africans and then hang out with him at the same time because I realized he felt a little bit by himself. I realized that Africans sometimes we're not as inclusive as, you know, we could be when, or I would say the group of friends I had, we weren't as inclusive. And so he would be there, and we're cracking jokes, and we're talking in different accents. And so he was, you know, just sitting back, observing, but he was by himself. And I would say another thing that drove a wedge between us was because I needed to be in college. Like, I had no other option besides education, whereas he didn't have to go to college. And before, when we started dating, he actually didn't want to go to college. He only went to college and he only applied because I was like, I can't date anybody who doesn't have a college education. I know your parents are well off. I know you are well off, but I can't. I need to, you know, be able to have that security knowing that someone is as like-minded as I am far as education goes. And so it was an option for him. And that was one of the biggest struggles. Dating for me was definitely difficult. And then once I broke up with him, I started dating an African. Now, I dated an African who was someone I grew up with, someone who I've known like pretty much all my life. He was Sierra Leonean, so I didn't have to worry about like introducing him to my parents. I didn't have to worry about introducing him to the culture or like slowly, you know, immersing him into it. So that was easy. It was, I would say, hands down, it was the easiest relationship I possibly could have had, especially because my parents knew his people, which is very important in African culture, and that my culture was never, you know, questioned. So that was easy. But at the same time, it was very hard because my parents, our families expected us to, you know, follow through, you know. So I was in that relationship, 6.5, 7 years, and they were like, okay, you guys have been doing this for a long time. What's next? And I was like, you know, so the pressure was also there. The one difference with the relationship that was with a Sierra Leonean was that he was born in Sierra Leone and I wasn't. And so he would always, like, make a point of that, like, oh, you know, you're not really Sierra Leonean because you have a American birth certificate. But I cook the food, I eat the food, I speak the language, you know, I dance to the music, but I'm not a Sierra Leonean. And so that was the only thing that, you know, kind of made it difficult to date him. And then, you know, once that relationship ended and I was bringing, you know, different guys now I'm dating like Americans, like Black Americans. And it was crazy because my mom made a comment and she was like, you know what? I would rather you date a white American than a Black American. And I was like, why? You know, why would you say that? And my mom was like, it's just, you know, the upkeep, like, you know, that cultural stuff, like white people, they want to be cultural, you know, they want to know, they want to investigate that. Whereas Black people, they don't care. And I was like, okay. Like, and as my mom's getting older, she says what she wants to say. So I took that more as my parents aren't racist per se, but they definitely will stereotype. So when my dad met my first boyfriend, and the thing is, I worry more about my dad's opinion than my mom because my mom just says whatever. My ex-boyfriend pulls up and he has the loud exhaust on his car. Like, you can hear him coming from like a mile away. And my dad is like, what is that noise? And I did not tell my dad, like, hey, you know, he has, you know, the Mexican, like, look. I mentioned his name was, you know, Jose, but I did not tell him, like, he is going to come out in this nice sports car with an exhaust and the windows are going to be black. And, like, you know, so my dad, he opened the door and he sips his coffee and he looks at him up and down. And, you know, Jose introduces himself and my dad is like, very good to meet you. And then he, like, sips his coffee and stares at him, like, into his soul. And my mom in the background is hooting and hollering, and she's laughing. So that was very difficult, that first introduction. But other than that, very welcoming, you know, didn't have a problem. My second boyfriend, because they knew his culture, because they knew his people, it was like, there was no introduction. It was just like, hey, I'm going out with him. And my dad was like, okay, bye. You know, it's okay. It's easy. My parents have met a couple other guys, and it has been definitely difficult. They give me a harder time when it's someone that they don't know who or where they're coming from or what they do. If you were to tell me, hey, Betty, go back to Sierra Leone and go and find your husband, we might have a problem just because I know that there are certain things that I do that are totally American, like it's American culture. And there are certain things that I know a Sierra Leonean might not understand, like, okay, she's doing a lot right now. So I definitely would love to marry a Sierra Leonean. Only God knows what's going to happen with that. But I have been set up many times with different Sierra Leoneans, and I will tell you that it's not easy because their level of assimilation has to fall just right for me. So with American dating culture, you have your date night, your average date night, like go out to, you know, the movies, go out to eat. That's good, you know, be seen in public, with different groups of friends, like group dates are good. Sierra Leonean dating culture is pretty much, if you are going into the community with a Sierra Leonean boyfriend, it has to be serious. There is no lightheartedness. Like, I cannot date someone and in the Sierra Leonean culture and think that I'm going to be dating multiple people. Whereas American culture, you know, exclusive dating is not as common. Like, you can date multiple people. If I just take a guy, I dated an American guy, and I, you know, he met my parents, and my dad was like, oh, nice to meet you, da-da-da-da-da. But if I was to bring home a Sierra Leonean and he met my parents, my dad is, first question, what is your intention? What are you doing? So I think in my parents' mind, they also know, hey, she's going to marry a Sierra Leonean because she has to be real serious about him if she brings him home. I did have one guy who dated me, and he specifically said, oh, I'm just, you know, I just tell people, oh, yeah, I'm dating this West African girl, like the Drake lyric, East African girl. And so he used to, oh, it was so annoying. I had a hard time deciphering, you know, who's interested in knowing, hey, Betty wants to date, like, I want to date Betty because she is someone who brings something to the table and I can learn a lot from her, rather than she is someone who brings something to the table and it looks good on paper. First generation, you know, American, African, it's difficult because you want to please your parents, you want to please your family, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're comfortable in the skin you're in. To know that, you know, while, you know, we've come to this country, we're still acknowledging, yes, we are in America, we're doing American things, but we're keeping our culture alive. I think when I look at my nieces who just came back from Africa with us, right? They just came back and they are able to differentiate, like, my name is different and I'm proud of that. Like, I am actually proud that my name is different. I had my niece tell me that, you know, people can't pronounce my name. That's what she said in class. People can't pronounce my name, but that's okay because I can tell them how to pronounce it. That makes me proud. Makes me proud knowing that regardless of the ups and downs that we've all been through, we're able to still put a smile on our face and we're able to, you know, keep it moving, and, you know, greet the person just as much with as much respect as they deserve, you know. I think that shows a lot for my parents too, especially because they've encountered some pretty hard times as far as where racism, you know, somebody gets the promotion and they don't, or somebody says something to them in the grocery store. But being able to stand up for themselves and not being scared, you know, because there's a lot of hate out there. And I have received a lot of hate. My parents have received a lot of hate. But being able to just say, you know what, I came here, I did it, I'm still here, and I'm still trying, and they've been able to raise a family, you know, that's what makes me proud. I can say with as much confidence that, you know, I am proud to be American, but I can also say with just as much confidence that I'm proud to be Sierra Leonean.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It helps other people find us. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at First Gens. That's the number one, STGENS. Plus, get extra content on our website, firstgenspodcast.com. First Gens was created by Perrine DeShield. The show is co-hosted by Perrine and Sky Wilson. Trey Pierce, a.k.a. Self, is our audio engineer. Special thanks to our roundtable guests, Elvira, Chelsea, and Sean. And a special thank you to Betty for sharing her first-gen experience. Music from this podcast is listed by name and artist within the credits on our website and is derived from bensound.com and SoundClick. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for taking a chance on us.